All right, here we go. Welcome to the Subconscious Saturday Success Series, if you will. And today we're going to be having a lot of fun. We're going to be doing things a little bit differently, right? And what I would like to do, again, for everybody that's on the call live, or the webinar, if you will, it's a no-pitch webinar. I got nothing to sell. I'll stress that, and I'll be respectful of your time. You know, you might want to turn off your video camera, if you will, because that can eat up all your bandwidth, and I don't, you know, that can cause pixelization on your end. My end's usually pretty good. There's no storms today here in Florida, so there shouldn't be a problem. So anyway, the game plan for the Saturday Success Series, again, it's a follow-up to the butterfly experiment, which I started very first part of May, because we were in the middle of that lockdown, people were going crazy. And people started talking about the analogy of a butterfly, the metamorphosis of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. I love that analogy. And like every motivational kind of speaker, success speaker, NLP or hypnotist, it's a great metaphor, right? But sometimes I don't think we go deep enough when we talk about that, right? Because we just talk about like maybe withdrawing and kind of redoing and coming out a new you. Great. But most people don't actually begin to realize that caterpillar totally reinvented himself. He literally, and they've done it, you know, you could, there's pictures, like, you know, 2 weeks into the metamorphosis, it's basically melted itself down. It is no longer a caterpillar in any way, shape, or form, right? And it's very vulnerable when it's in that cocoon, right? And then it reinvents itself totally, right? And then when it first emerges from the cocoon, it's a butterfly, but those first either couple hours or so, I guess it depends on the butterfly or the moth as it's coming out, it's totally vulnerable, right? Great. Now we use that, you know, about being careful when you first emerge and whether that's, you know, changing something in your life. But the other thing that I don't think is stressed enough is once it emerges as a butterfly, that's it. It's done. It will never go backwards and be a caterpillar. It can't go hang out with the caterpillars occasionally. You know, can't go have a beer and a cigarette with a caterpillar. It can't. It's over. It can't eat caterpillar food. It can't hang out with caterpillars. It probably can't, if there was a language, it couldn't speak caterpillar anymore. It has to hang out with butterflies, right? So what happens when you go through a metamorphosis and you think you're all changed and then it starts regressing? And we're starting to see that with people coming out of this lockdown already. You know, they've said they're going to make all these changes. They're, you know, they took all these motivational courses and self-help courses and all this. And now that things are opening up and you're getting back to normal, can you keep the change, right? And I'll admit, I'm a work in progress with everybody. You know, I've got to force myself to make sure I do a lot more cardio, because when I was during the lockdown, I couldn't go to the gym. The gym was closed, and lift weights. So I was home. So I started doing cardio. Well, gym opened up about 2 weeks ago. I started going back to the gym and I started doing less and less cardio. So I'm going to have to make a conscious effort if I really want this metamorphosis to continue, right? I lost a lot of weight, a lot of body fat just doing cardio. I wasn't lifting heavy weights. But if I want it to continue, I have to do that. So what are some of these blocks that we're talking about? So this is the part two of the butterfly experiment, right? So let's have some fun. And again, my contact info, in case you don't know it, if you want on Twitter, it's Dr. Will at Real NLP. On Instagram, it's Dr. Will Horton. I'm always posting stuff, you know. On Facebook, I think it's just William Horton, right? And then I have a couple main websites, of course, nfnlp.com and aasolve.com. So make sure you keep in touch. Follow me if you want. I try to post motivate, like a lot of people, stuff. Some of you've seen it. Some of you like it, right? So let's get started. Success. What type of success do you seek, right? Is it money? Is it career? Is it relationship? Is it physical? Maybe a healing? Maybe you want a hot body? I don't know. What is your success? Maybe it's something personal within those or whatever, right? So again, one of the issues we get into is when you think about success and you try to read about success, what type of success is it, right? And so That's the first thing, right? So we'll use the term success as a general term. You can fill it in for what you want. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's fame. Whatever it is you want. Maybe it's a hot relationship. Maybe it's a change your physical body, right? And maybe you have multiple levels, but let's just pick on one or two to get started. And this always leads me to put out the idea of why do some people have multiple successes? You know, there'll be a success in one field, then another field, then another field. And again, it goes back to success, kind of what we'll be talking about today, subconscious blocks. One of the people I usually mention when I talk about this, and in my own head is, and don't laugh, Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Because he was dominant in the world of bodybuilding. Dominant, right? To this day, many people like, whatever. He's like dominant, it was in the world of bodybuilding. Then he decides to become an actor. Now, other bodybuilders before that had tried to become actors, Steve Reeves, a few of the others. You know, Lou Ferrigno, all that. But he dominated when he became an actor. You know, he picked a very success track and he ran with it. Then at pretty much the height, when he was still at the top of his game as an actor, he decides to become a politician. And he becomes the governor of California, right? That's multiple successes across the board, right? So why do some people do that? They'll have success in this field, and then they'll go this field, you know? Elon Musk, the guy that helped start PayPal, then he goes, he does another thing. Then he does Tesla, the auto, and now he's just doing SpaceX. I would say that's multiple successes. Yes, all in business, but totally different businesses. You know, we could use a lot of different people. And when I mention those names, remember what your gut was when those names came up, because we're going to come back to that. So what are the problems with success in general, right? Number one, the problem with success is, excuse me, I just lost my train of thought, is, I want to make sure. Okay, cool. It's not clear, too vague. Right. And again, it's like the old saying, it doesn't matter where you're going if you have no clear target. If you got no destination, true destination doesn't matter. And that's sometimes the problem. Usually for us on this call by this time, that's not it. And of course, we can use the old SMART goals from NLP in the old days, you know, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic. There's some questions about realistic. Or is it testable? Is there something you can see, hear, or feel that lets you know it's measurable and testable? Can you test it, right? So what is your goals? And we'll come back to that. But today is a little bit more different, right? So I'm going to ask that you join me on a quest, right? Are you sick and tired of talking the talk, but having it, whatever this goal is, or multiple goals, elude you, you know? Do you feel like a fraud? Especially those of us in NLP, hypnosis, that's been exposed to the law of attraction, The Secret, going back to Neville Goddard, going all this, whatever it is, do you feel like a fraud, right? And I want you to know it's not your fault, because you really don't know what you don't know. You dream of it, whatever the success is, but you do know that there is money in your failure, because you buy more books, you buy more courses, you take more seminars, yada, yada, yada. Right? So I'm stressing this is a non-pitch webinar, right? So who really knows? That's the other problem, right? There's so much information out there, right? It's kind of like those of us in the NLP hypnosis coaching world. If you're on Facebook, I know your feed is flooded with, I'll show you how to get high dollar clients. I'll show you how to do six figures and whatever, coaching, whatever, right? So who do you know to follow, right? It's fascinating. And I'll admit, I'll self-disclose, I'm on my journey also. But do you feel like a fraud at times again, right? Right? It's kind of interesting, you know, it is. So let's stop the insanity and try something. So just join me on a quest. What have you got to lose? A little bit of time, a little bit of effort. That's it, right? So why are you or we stuck, especially those of us with hypnosis, NLP, EFT, the law of attraction, the list goes on. You have all this stuff. Why are you stuck? And you see other people, they'll get one of those things and their life starts to change, right? I call it the law of paradox, or the law of, or just generally, the paradox of knowledge, right? Something happens, and you have an impactful moment in your life, and you experience a shift. Maybe you didn't become the butterfly, but you're a higher level caterpillar, right? So you experienced a shift. Maybe it was a hypnosis session. Maybe you went to a seminar and it was like, whoa, right? Maybe somebody did an EFT process on you and you went, whoa, right? Whatever it was, right? Or you got exposed to the law of attraction or the secret and you went, whoa. And don't mean to keep sounding like Keanu Reeves there, but you know, it's like, and so you fascinated. So you had this success. You stop, you know, I always think of it when people come into our field of hypnosis and NLP, they stop smoking, lose weight, had a change. And then they start studying it. And then the paradox kicks in with, now you're stuck or you want a higher level change and this stuff doesn't work anymore. The NLP, the hypnosis, the EFT, whatever it is, it just doesn't seem to work, right? And there's some reasons for it. It's the paradox of knowledge. So let's say you want to change your body. And so you're at this conference, you go to a conference and you check off, I'm going to this seminar where this person's going to talk about whatever it is, you know, losing weight or making this major change. And you sit in the seminar room and you start going as they're teaching, you're going, well, that's, why are they doing that? I wouldn't do that. You have knowledge. And it becomes a screen, a filter, a block to get the change in, right? So it's like, well, I wouldn't do that. I would do this, right? Or at the same time, especially if you're doing it for a living, you're kind of going, yeah, this is so cool. And then you start doing the experiment. You go, no, I got to remember this because this would work for Joe or it'd work for my client Betty. So it doesn't work for you anymore, right? And then that feeds back into feeling like a fraud. And I'm not saying you might not go and help thousands of people. You know, you might become that fat chain smoking hypnotist that has wonderful, and I know a lot of people like that, not to just be honest with you, right? Doesn't mean they're not getting the change in the other people. They're not getting into itself, you know? That's what I find fascinating. So why? In this age of information, why are we stuck, right? Well, as we said, there's conflicting information, right? Even within things like law of attraction or whatever. Or you only get partial info because the person teaching it only has partial info. Information. I will admit that. I know what I know, but I don't know what I don't know, right? There could be fear, right? That just general fear. Can you do it? Are you afraid of it? You know? I like to say fear is focused energy attains results, but it can block you, right? And it could be control. Maybe to do this change, you have to lose control. If you want to become a butterfly, you have to lose control as a caterpillar. You are no longer a caterpillar. You can't go back and lecture the goddamn caterpillars. They're, you know, you're not a part of them anymore. So there's some fear. There's all this issues, right? And it's a belief paradox. Now, a conscious belief, I think, can be changed with conscious intent, with logic, with Socrates method, you know, with the logic, and then you'll get a conscious change. It's a conscious belief, right? Maybe, and those are the beliefs we get maybe as we get a little bit older, things like that. But what about deep subconscious beliefs? First of all, if it's truly subconscious, or even if you want to use the term unconscious, you're not aware you have it. So how can you change it? It basically boils down to the undescribable and the unspeakable, you know, because deep beliefs have no words. So my favorite two sayings, how do you describe the indescribable, right? How do you speak the unspeakable, right? And these are feelings. They might be vague feelings, a sense, a knowing. And it's kind of vague at first, but it will grow stronger. And this is what's going to stop you, right? And it has to be, and these things are revealed unconsciously. You're not consciously aware you have them, right? And so when I say they get revealed unconsciously, have you, and let's not pick on yourself, but think about your friends, right? Or associates, right? Have you ever heard the term, something's going on and they go, that's just wrong, right? Maybe you're watching something and they mention like some sports figure or movie star just made $100 million. If you yourself or maybe someone, no one deserves that much money for playing a game, or just no one deserves that much money, right? You know, we should top out that no one can become a multi-billionaire. You know, I saw this on Facebook that once you get to $1 billion, you get a plaque that says I won. So that there's a lot going on here. Or if someone's very successful, especially in something you'd like to do, and you see them somehow you might hear yourself or other people say, it's just easy for them, you know, or they're different. So these are indescribable and unspeakable because you can't put words to them. And you could say, you will put a few words with it in a moment, but it may not be that, because again, it's beyond description, right? So let me ask a question, and we'll just use money for this, but it could be anything. If you see someone who's a billionaire or successful at whatever thing you want, are they 10,000 times smarter than you? Are they 10,000 times harder working than you? Are they 1,000 or 10,000 times more sincere than you? Are they 10,000 times more deserving than you? Now, when you ask those questions, and let's say, you know, you want money, you say no. Whatever your career you want, when you see somebody very successful in your career, like as a, let's say, an actor, are they 10,000 times more talented as an actor? No. Are they 10,000 times or 1,000 times, even 100 times more hardworking than you? Right? No, generally, also when you see the successful, it seems like it's the opposite, right? But so what stops us when you see these successes? This is what I find fascinating. So you know that it's not true that they're 1,000 times, 10,000 times, 100 times harder working or smarter or whatever. Right? What stops you? Right? Because you cannot change a deep subconscious belief consciously. It's beyond words. It's beyond logic. It's a feeling, a sense, a knowing, right? Maybe as Neville Goddard said, feeling is the secret. He wrote a book on it, right? Feeling is the secret. Because that's what's going to really drive you. And then all your stuff on top of that, your consciousness, your higher level thought, your intelligence will support those feelings. So I like to think, and it seems to be true, success attracts itself. So success attracts itself. Money attracts money, whatever it happens to be. And this could be why successful people think and feel differently. It's why we see multi-generational success, right? And we've always seen it in business. You know, it's almost like royalty that can get passed on. But even in relatively new fields, we're seeing multi-generational success. You're seeing sports stars, kids, and even grandkids becoming professional athletes, right? We're seeing, you know, the sons of movie stars become successful actors. And now when I say that, again, check your gut. Is think, well, yeah, because they had the connections. Yeah, that's true. But once they got started, you know, again, is that what's going on, right? And whatever that first gut level is, when you think of these multi-generational successes, that's going to reveal something we're going to have to deal with, right? So you can read self-help. You can learn the laws of success, the laws of money, or the law of attraction, or the secret. And unless you do one little thing, you'll never succeed, because it will sabotage absolutely everything. Or it seems to, right? And it's a feeling. Basically, it's a deep feeling. And you have to root this out. It's beyond words. It is beyond talk. It was probably installed before you could process thought. You were just a little feeling being, you know, when you were in the womb and the first few months afterwards. You weren't consciously thinking, right? But things get processed in at the subconscious level. And then it's reinforced by your family of your, I spelled that wrong. It should be family of origin, right? FOO, not FOA, I apologize, right? Your family of origin probably reinforces it, right? And then society on top of it will reinforce it, because your family of origin will probably be in the part of society that will support those beliefs, those feelings, right? So the correct question is, can you think and can you feel like royalty, right? And again, I use that term because I just heard it the other day where they're calling this one family, they're like royalty of the NFL. Because their parents played, now they're playing, and it looks like their grandkids are starting to play. So it's like royalty. It's passed on, right? And the royalty of show business, you know, the kids of them. Now, not all will succeed, right? They'll be given all those tools, maybe, but do they succeed, right? So just think about it. Can you feel like royalty, right? It's a feeling, you know. I heard Peyton Manning talk about, you know, his dad was a great NFL player. And they were talking to him about that, and, you know, showed pictures of him, a little kid around all these pro football players, and, you know, the boost that it had. And he goes, you know, the best thing, he kind of said the best thing he got out of it was he knew what it was like to be around professional athletes, professional football players, and what it felt like to be okay with being a professional football player, right? And, you know, it's kind of that idea, because you grow up, it's just your family of origin, you know, it's your, and that part of society will support it, right? So can you do that? Yes, I think you can, right? But you have to do a few things. And are you willing? Are you really willing to do it? You know? And it really boils down to the crime of feeling unworthy, unlovable, undeserving. It could be, I've heard it called the crime of being, the crime of existence, right? And a lot of this, I think, goes, one thing I've always hated in one religious text is the idea of original sin, right? Because that means you're never good enough. You're not deserving, right? And it starts this whole process. And again, this goes to society supporting a thought process, right? And do you have some of that crime of being or crime of existence or feeling of original sin? And that it manifests itself out is you never feel good enough. Whatever you do is not good enough. I could have done better. You know, you got 100 on the test. You still think, I could have done better. How the hell could you do better, right? And again, our language starts doing it. You know, I gave 100%. You could have gave 110 physically or technically, that's impossible. Once you hit 100%, the system's maxed out. But again, it's the idea of not being good enough. Maybe it's just not deserving. You don't deserve that, right? That could also manifest itself out when you see people, maybe you've done this. I know I've done this. You get like an outfit, a shirt, something you really like. It's special. It's your favorite. You never wear it, right? Because you don't want to ruin it. Maybe your parents taught you that. Then when you go to wear it, you've outgrown it. Or it's out of style. You see it in the back of your closet. You go, damn, I love that shirt. But now it's out of style, right? Whatever it is, right? So you never feel good enough. You don't feel deserving. It's like you're empty. You're really not able to connect with other people. You start feeling uncomfortable when you're happy. You know, that's when people say things like, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Can you just be comfortable in being happy? You know? A big one is, can you accept the compliment? Oh, I really like that shirt. Oh, this whole thing. Even though you just bought the damn thing, spent $50 on it or whatever, you can't just say thank you. You know, or you did a really good job. You know, I could have done a better one in Act Two because of whatever, right? You just can't accept the compliment and move on. And you start thinking at some level, successful people are different. You know, they're different. They're somehow different than you and me, right? And as long as you have that, maybe you'll never get there, right? And this is in your neurology. This is in your nervous system, if you will, right? So do you feel, and a lot of times when I talk about this, people think, no, I feel worthy. I feel lovable. You know, I feel deserving. You know, again, let's go back to when you see someone get what you really want, right? Or it'll come in passing again, like you see somebody signs a $150 million contract to play a game, football, baseball, basketball, whatever. And you go somewhere in the back, you go, no one's worthy of that kind of money. No one deserves that kind of money. Well, what's that telling your subconscious mind? That means that feeling's coming up. It's magnifying it, right? Well, then what's enough money? What's enough success? You know, when an actor, I've seen this, or a singer, you see it, right? They're at the top of that game. They go and they go do a movie. And people go, why are they doing that? Why aren't they just happy being a singer, right? Why? Because, you know, that's letting you know that somewhere in there you have this conflict, right? And it could come from a lot of things. You know, a lot of us, depending on, well, let's just be honest. How many, we always think life is like a Hallmark movie, you know? Your parents are young and, you know, starting out on, you know, their life, and they're struggling maybe. Right. And, the wife goes, I'm pregnant. Yeah. You know, in a Hallmark movie, everybody, oh, this is great. You know, this is lovely. This is wonderful. Right. And of course, when the woman first finds out, she cries in tears of joy. Maybe that's true. Right. But could it also be like maybe the gut level reaction could be, we can't afford this right now. How did this happen? Of course, we know how it happened, but how did this happen? You know, oh my God, I don't know how this is going to work, right? And I'm not saying the parents still go on and be great parents and love you and all that, but what about that feeling that gets transcribed even while you're just, you know, that you're, it's a burden. You know, how am I going to do this? Right. Not another kid. You know, we're balancing two toddlers now. How is this? Whatever it is. Right. And again, I'm not saying it's just what it is. It's a feeling. And again, this little being, or even when you're a toddler and you're doing things, you might spill something and, you know, you spill it on, you know, your mom gets you dressed up for your one-year-old and your Easter outfit here in the States, Christian religion, so you're all fancy, and you being a one-year-old or toddler, don't know, and you spill something on it, damn it, this is why you can't have anything nice. And it's just that negative feeling of, I love this little dress or this suit, and then now he spilled something on it, and, you know, this big person that my existence depends upon just kind of said, I'll never have anything nice. This is why I can't have anything nice. You don't deserve nice things, right? And then again, as you're forming, again, as parents, we just kind of, some of us default to that. We're trying to teach this idea of working toward a goal, but what if the person hasn't intellectually, that little being hasn't intellectually developed about working toward and deserve, you know, and equalizing to just feeling like I don't deserve it, you know? Or the old, you get a B+, well, you could have got an A. You could have got an A, right? Or, you know, some, your little kid, someone gives you a compliment and you don't really say much. Your mom slaps you, you know, and, or dad or whatever. And it's like they, because they can't accept the compliment, they pass that on to the kid. And again, I'm not making a judgment. It's just this and this. Or also too, in that family of origin society, if you go up and you're seeing these rich, successful people, whatever it is, that kind of success, maybe they have the idea that these people are just different than you. Some of the old text, it was kind of, because it was our society, royalty was chosen by God, right? It just as wasn't like Tony Robbins said, hey, they're just part of the lucky sperm club. No, it was like, it was ordained. So therefore, if you can accept that, that means me being a peasant is ordained, right? So, and this is in your neurological system, your neurology. So now, let's have some fun, all right? And I want to see how this feels, right? And then we'll try this, then we'll do a way to reverse it. So again, I respect your thing, but these are subconscious blocks, but it's unworthy, undeserving, unlovable, right? So let's do a classic EFT thing, because if this is beyond words, it's a feeling, right? And some of us can access that feeling of not feeling good enough, not feeling complete, you know? Coming from the addiction world, I can tell you that's a big thing in the addiction world, feeling hollow, not feeling like a fraud, things like that. So, but if even if you can't, we'll just try this, right? So we'll do the classic where you tap on the karate chop of your point, if you know EFT, and you'll say, even though I'm unlovable, unworthy, and undeserving, I can accept myself. Even though I'm unlovable, unworthy, and undeserving, I can accept myself, right? And as you tap on that, it's the classic setup to do the psychological reversal, right? Now try just to see how this feels, and then we'll reverse it, right? Which is, let's say you're tapping on the top of your head or your heart, either one works for the test, right? If you say, and so like you're tapping and you're going, I'm lovable, I'm deserving, I'm worthy. And just see if that feels a little strange. I'm lovable, I'm deserving, I'm worthy. You know, if it just feels a little bit strange, right? And if it does, we have to reverse it. So we did the, you know, even though I feel unlovable, unworthy, and undeserving, I can accept myself. But now let's try this. And what you do, bear with me on this, is imagine from the top of your head coming down from the universe, it's going to come through you and it's going to kind of wash out the negativity. It's going to electrically sweep through you, right? To kind of blow it out. If those of us trained in NLP, you know, we know that really cool NLP technique of the compulsion blowout, right? Because if it's there, we got to blow it out, right? You can't override it because it's in there, even if it's kind of residual, right? So we're going to do it in a different way. But first, you know, I want you to imagine trying this, right? And just bear with me, right? So again, now you're going to tap, you're going to do the reversal. Even though I'm unlovable, unworthy, and undeserving, I can accept myself, right? Now what I want you to do is sit straight and imagine it's going to wash down through you and out of the bottom of your feet into the earth so it can dissipate out and through the, out into the, to the, to the, not the universe, but the out into the world, right? And it's just going to come through you like the light. So you're going to tap on the top of your head, doesn't matter which hand, and just say, unlovable, unworthy, undeserving. Unlovable, unworthy, undeserving. Now, as I'm doing this, some people go, you're reinforcing it. No, what I want you to do is open up that channel so your body can find where it's hiding, if you will. So, unlovable, undeserving, unworthy. Unlovable, undeserving, unworthy. Then what I want you to do is cross your hands. And so when you tap on the inside of your eyebrows, I want you to have your hands crossed so you're crossing the hemispheres of your brain, by the way. And say, unlovable, undeserving, unworthy. Unlovable, undeserving, unworthy. And then do tap on the side of the eyes. Keep your arms crossed. Unlovable, undeserving, unworthy. Unlovable. And imagine like the universe light, if you will, coming down. And it's trying to find all of these little electrical blocks. And then under your eyes, unlovable, undeserving, unworthy. Unlovable, undeserving, unworthy. Unlovable, undeserving, unworthy. And then under your nose, lovable, undeserving, unworthy. Lovable, undeserving, unworthy. And then your collarbone parts, and I keep my hands crossed, right? Might as well do the cross hemisphere. Unlovable, undeserving, unworthy. Right? Unlovable, undeserving, unworthy. And then the rib point, you know, like if a woman would, the bra strap area, men or wherever that bone is, and tap both sides, unlovable, undeserving, unworthy. And then tap your chest right at your heart. Right? And then just let it whoosh, wash down through you, wash down through you. So let me say, somebody had a comment. Let me see what it was. Oh, somebody asked about cross your arms. Just like an X, doesn't matter which side. So you're tapping on, you know, EFT goes like this, but I forget who taught me that, but if you cross this, you're doing the cross hemisphere. So just like that. Great. Now, So we have that, right. Now, so we did the EFT. Now, the exercise, we're going to add the NLP swish and flip pattern. Like we could do the NLP swish where you picture yourself the way you want to be, you know, the ideal self, the you that, the butterfly you, like that has the success and you know where you are now and you're going to get to that goal, right? That's great. But if you have these underlying, if you don't blow out that negativity, if you don't get rid of it, maybe you'll get like two steps and that's it. You won't get all the way there, right? So now, so the exercise for the week to do this daily until next week, we're going to look at neurological rules for success. Because again, you can't install clean water in a dirty cup. So let's work on just getting this out of us, right? Is so we're going to do the EFT, the unlovable, unworthy, undeserving. And maybe you have a specialty in there, like I don't deserve to have a hot relationship. I don't deserve to be rich. I don't deserve easy money. Whatever it is, maybe there's a specialty you can work in there too, right? And then you're going to do the swish pattern where you, you know, you imagine how you are right now. And then it's, you just do the whoosh. So you, I would do the computer swish where you double click. And you see the ideal self. This is the you that has that goal, has the success, whether it's the physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, whatever that success is, that's the you that has it. Great. So you do that, right? So you're going to go how you are right now, the image you are right now. I would double click and then it just whoosh, it disappears and you just see the big you that has the success. And that you smiling, always add a smile. That you's comfortable with the success. That you's comfortable with the money or the relationship or the physical body or the whatever it is. So you do that, whoosh, you do the swish a couple times. And then we're going to add what I call the flip, which is when you think about holding yourself back, you just think, that's not who I am anymore. You know, I'm the type of person that's successful, whatever the success you're going for. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. But, you know, I'm the type of person that gets what I want. You know, the old me that used to sabotage myself, that's not who I am anymore. That's not who I am anymore, right? I'm going toward this new you. So we're coming in right at 40 minutes. Yay. And again, if you want to follow me, it's nfnlp.com. Twitter, it's Dr. Will at Real NLP. Instagram, Dr. Will Horton. Facebook, whatever it is on Facebook, find me. It's easy. AASolve.com, that's my addiction site. And I'm expanding that out. I'm trying to tweak it and move it around. And of course, nfnlp.com. So I'd like to thank you. Next week, we're going to have fun. We're going to start looking at some of the rules of success, right? And what seems to be neurologically how you have to flip. But again, you got to get rid of the stuff that is subconsciously holding you back. And again, going back to this, it is these unspeakable things that people don't want to talk about: feeling unworthy, feeling unlovable, feeling undeserving, not being good enough, not being happy. That's what we have to get rid of, right? And you know, if you've gotten everything you got in life, well, you probably wouldn't be on this call. But if you're stuck, that's what we want to work on, right? Let me stop the recording. Hang around, everybody, and then we'll talk if people have any questions. I just wanted to get this on there. Again, I'm respectful of your time. So I'm going to stop the recording or pause it in case I want to say something at the